Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
God has designed it that your passion would intersect with your God-given purpose. God has designed it that your passion would intersect with your God-given purpose.
God bless you tonight. We're so glad that you decided to join us for When Passion Meets Purpose. I'm your host for tonight, Leslie Bishop Joe, and tonight we're going to be talking about the real issue. What is it? So let's look to the Lord first before we get into our lesson for tonight. God, we thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It all belongs to you, Lord. Tonight we ask that you would allow the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart to be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are our strength, and you are our redeemer. Amen. I am just so excited about being with you tonight, and there's a couple passages of scripture that I'm going to share tonight as we go forward, talking about the real issue tonight. Our backdrop is going to be coming out of Romans, actually. So we're going to be dealing with some scriptures out of Romans. The first scripture I want to read is out of Romans 10, and is verses 8 and 9. It reads, "But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." I think that's an awesome promise that God has made to us. And then I want us to go over to Romans 1. And Romans 1:18 reads, well, let's see here. Let's go back up before we get to 18. Let's go to 16. Romans 1 and 16 reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Now verse 18, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven, against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So I've read Romans 1:16 and down through verse 20. And you may read on farther in your own time, if you will. But tonight we're talking about the real issue. And those are the scriptures, like I said, that we'll use as our backdrop, as we'll be referring to. So tonight, what's in my spirit to share with you briefly is that, you know, the real issue with this gospel is not so much about getting people to hear the gospel. People will listen, they'll come and listen, and on some level, they'll even accept the truth of the message. They'll concede that, yeah, you know, this is true. I believe somehow that this is true, and thousands are even willing to give wholehearted assent to the truths of salvation and the truth of God's word. So then what is the real issue? Then if it's not about getting people to believe the gospel message, what is it? I believe then that what the Lord is saying today is it's not just a question, it's not about getting people to believe as much as it is to getting them to act on their faith and to step out on what they believe. Many people believe intellectually, but God wants us to appropriate the truths that we accept in his word, that when we accept and receive the Lord Jesus, the one about whom we do believe, the one that we proclaim as our Lord and Savior, then God is saying it's not enough just to believe, but we have to be able to appropriate and act upon our faith. It can't just be an intellectual faith. So this is the heart of the matter. You know, we just read in Romans that we have to accept and believe in our hearts. If we believe in our hearts, it's a heart matter. It's a heart thing. And that's the whole truth about conversion. We're in a battleground for souls. Each and every day, the enemy is fighting against us, and Satan's going to do anything that he can to keep his kingdom from being invaded and to keep from losing those who are subjects unto him. To lose us, he doesn't want to lose us unto the light, you know, unto the cause of Christ. But intellectual belief, you got to watch this. Intellectual belief is no threat to the enemy because he knows that people are only believing with their heads, but not with their hearts. We, you know, you find many people like that, and I'm going to talk about a situation a little bit later on as we share this time together, how we can accept this word of God with our intellect and be able to even expound on this word and know it almost from cover to cover, but not have the word of God in our hearts. And so this is what the enemy wants. He wants us to have an intellectual knowledge. But God wants us to have the type of love for him that comes from the heart, because that intellectual knowledge makes no difference in our lives. You know, God wants us to be able to act upon what we believe, and to shape our lives according to what we believe. But every satanic attack, you know, all the power of the enemy is brought to bear upon us to keep us from that. God wants us to act upon that, because it's when we act upon our faith, then we escape the kingdom of darkness. It's then that we move from darkness into light. It's then that the power of the enemy has no dominion over us. We're walking in then the kingdom authority and the light and the power of God. So God has given to each and every one of us, though, a choice. So if you're listening tonight, it's only you. You alone can decide the issue tonight. And the issue has to do with whether or not we will accept Christ only in our thoughts and do things that we think coincide with that. And I'm going to talk about that, or if it's really going to be a heart thing for us. But I want you to know, before we get going, before you make your choice, that Satan's going to do everything that he can to hinder you. You know, but God is there. to do everything that he can to help us, you know, to pull us through. So just know that the fight is on, and God is leaving the decision up to us. So when we talk about conversion, that's one of the first things we're going to deal with. We said it's a heart matter. That's the real issue, is that it's not dealing with the head. It's not an intellectual thing, this salvation that we talk about. It's not an intellectual decision, but it's a heart decision. And when we talk about being converted, conversion speaks of action. And God is calling us to action. He's calling us to stand. A definite stand has to be taken, because we can't really say that we're converted until we've acted upon our belief. You know, when the Lord Jesus was speaking, I believe, to Peter, and he told him, when you are converted, then you can go and strengthen your brothers. Why? Strengthen your brethren, because conversion leads us to action. When you say you believe, there's something that ought to be done about it. You know, what have we done since we've said that we believe? When the scriptures say the old man has become new, are we changed? Are we changed men? Are we changed women? Is there a difference? Do we now love the things that we once hated? Do we hate the things that we once loved? What is it that this relationship with Christ, what difference has it made in our lives? Because there's something about conversion and coming to Christ. We have to throw in our lot with God's people. You remember we talked last week about being in a race, and whether we know it or not, we're on a team. You know, we're not running this race alone, but we're a part of the body of Christ, and we have to be identified, and we have to carry our weight, and we have to do what it is that's going to benefit the whole. So we're going to talk tonight, you know, do we know that Christ is really our Savior? Have we accepted him? Jesus said to those whom he encountered, all of those disciples, I want you to think about this. What he said to them was, follow me. He called all of them to action. He didn't encounter them and just say, believe on me. He said to them, follow me. And they left what they were doing. If you go back and you read all of the encounters of those who became his disciples, you'll find that whatever they were in the midst of doing, they had to leave what they were doing and take action and follow him, put down whatever it was, to show that they were now, you know, throwing in their lot with him. They were now giving up whatever they had been attached to or accustomed to, or where they had gotten their livelihood, where their support and provision had come from, to follow Christ. The Lord has said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But the thing is, we have to come. We have to come. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, but we have to receive him. You know, I'm thinking about some scriptures. You know, we have to take initiative. There has to be action. All of these promises come with action first. As many as received him. So there's something that happens first. To them he gave power to become the sons of God. But we have to receive him first. And that's a heart thing. It's not our minds saying, okay, well, yeah, I believe. No, it's with our heart. We have to take that initiative. There are many who hear this gospel message, as we say, but there's no difference. There's no change. They don't show that they have left what they've been attached to, and that they're now following Christ. Okay? So what we want to talk about is the Lord bringing us to a turning point in our lives, a turning point. I read about missionaries and the work that they have to do, and have been acquainted with missionaries and going out. We try to, in the ministry that I work with, women in ministry, we attach ourselves to various ones who are out on the mission field. And I understand that it's difficult work. You know, they go to the multitudes and they have to share this gospel, you know, unashamedly share the gospel. You remember that scripture we just read, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. When you go to the multitudes, when God sends us, we have to go without fear and be able to share this unadulterated gospel, because God has promised to support his word. He's going to confirm his word with signs following, but we have to deliver the word so that then the multitudes are fully convinced that these things are so. God is the one who brings conviction. God is the one who convinces men and women that he is alive, but he sends individuals like you and me. We may not ever go overseas. Now, I've been overseas, but I'm talking about on mission trips. You may not be sent in that capacity, and don't feel any less than if you're not, because there's plenty of work to do right here and right there. Wherever you are, there's plenty to do. But God is saying, I want you to align yourself with me. So what is the real issue? A lot of people pull back from that, and many of us have not really given our all to that, because it's going to mean for some much persecution. And the days are coming when persecution is going to become harder and harder. I don't believe we've seen it to the extent that we will in this nation. But for many, it means persecution to align with Christ, to really say that, you know, we belong to him and that our hearts are totally given over to him. It can mean homelessness, being put out from where you are, having to go out to those in bush country. How about hardship and suffering coming our way? Yes, being ostracized. There are many today of certain faiths, if they turn to Christ, they're ostracized. They're ostracized from their families. It's as if they don't even exist anymore. They're driven from their homes and, you know, as though they're living accursed apart from their loved ones. That's a turning point in one's life. But the scriptures talk about if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. When that happens, oftentimes it's a turning point in our lives, because those whom we've been attached to may no longer want to be attached to you. And in most instances cannot be, because they're not pulling in the same direction, except they too become converted. I hope that makes sense. It doesn't mean you cannot anymore spend time with those who don't know Christ, but you'll find that you're pulling in different directions, and that God's will is for us to share this word of God with them such that their hearts are changed. Men and women and children's hearts are changed toward Christ. He wants us to take a stand and to act upon what we believe. So, again, it's not so much a question of getting people to believe, I think. It's really persuading people to act upon what it is that they say they believe, because God has called us to be disciples and not just Christians. And we can be comfortable with being called Christians and operating under that banner as long as it doesn't require anything of us. So we have to be very, very careful about that, because it has very little to do with our heads, because the scripture says that according to the word, with the heart man believeth, okay? With the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And there are many things that, you know, we deal with in this life. We don't have to necessarily understand all of it, but we see it. We see how it operates. We know that if we put in the right things into our bodies, we're going to get results. Eat the right foods, your hair will be healthy, your nails will be healthy, your skin will be healthy, your body, your organs will be healthy. These things, we don't necessarily understand all the workings of it, but we certainly understand that when we do those things, we feel better, our bodies function better, you know, we look better. It's just a principle that if we take care of our bodies, our temples, then our temples, again, we'll be able to bring glory to God. You know, we'll be healthy, we'll be strong. And so the scripture is telling us that as these old things pass away and all things become new, the choice still resides with the people, and that is to choose this day who we're going to serve. Now, I told you at the top of this lesson that there was a testament, I guess, of someone in particular that many people have heard of, John Wesley, and I wanted to share a little bit about his story, because I read a little bit about his story. story, and I wanted to share it. Many knew about him, but John Wesley, as a boy, found this story interesting, and he thought he was a Christian. He had been taught that all he had to do in order to know God and be saved was to keep the commandments of God. So he considered himself a Christian. He had 3 points that he staked his Christianity on. He said he was not as bad as others. He professed that he was religious. He said that he read his Bible. He went to church, and he said his prayers. That's all under number three. So how many of us do as much? But he's saying that was the basis of his Christianity. Not as bad as others. He was religious, read his Bible, went to church, and said his prayers. But nowhere in there do we hear anything about relationship. But those who read the story of John Wesley know that he wasn't as bad as others. He was religious. But the thing about it is, at that time, he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't saved. He did read his Bible. He went to church, said his prayers, but he didn't know Christ. And this is the tragedy that we see. This is the real issue that we deal with today, is that, you know, God is calling his people apart to make a stand for the gospel, because it's the gospel that changes men and women's hearts. You know, it's not religion that changes hearts. It's not good works that changes hearts. You know, Wesley grew up. He became a young man. He still claimed to be a Christian, but he later was able to admit that he wasn't, but he did a lot of good things. He went on mission trips. He decided he was going to go to seminary. He did a lot of things that others who claimed to have been converted were not doing. He said he set apart an hour or two a day for religious retirement. That means just setting that aside to get into the Word. Took communion every week, watched against all types of sin, whether in word or deed, and prayed for inward holiness. Can you imagine all of this and still not saved? And I would venture to say that most Christians who claim to have a relationship with Christ, many of us don't do as much in terms of our daily walk with the Lord. Is it possible to do so much and still not know Christ? Is it possible to do so much and still it's all works and dead works and nothing that has to do with faith in the living God? Have you set apart an hour or two a day for, you know, just religious retirement? Do you take communion every week? Are you watching against sin, both in word and deed? Do you pray for inward holiness? But this is what he did. So there came a time when he decided to study for ministry. I want you to know this. Many see ministry as a job. And that's why we have to understand that relationship is so important. There are people who are donning pulpits every week. They go to pulpits, and it's a job for them. It's an occupation. But when God calls us to ministry, it's a vocation. You know, it's a vocation whereunto we've been called. It's not an occupation where we come in and we're constantly haggling for more pay and more money as though this is a job and we want to raise. No, we're delivering the gospel. But here he was, a young man deciding to study for ministry, an unsaved man now, wanting to become a minister. He went to Oxford, and he became a student of theology. And all that time, he thought he was a Christian. And he said these are the reasons he thought he was a Christian. He said, I visited the prisons, I visited the poor and the sick, doing all the good that I could. I fasted on Wednesdays and Fridays. Uh-oh. I diligently strove against sin, and I practiced self-denial. Isn't it something how we love that? We love being able to afflict ourselves to make it seem as though we're more righteous, more holy. Now, I'm not against fasting. I know that it's good. I know that we're encouraged in the Word to fast. I know that there are spirits, evil spirits, that won't even come out unless there be much fasting and coupled with prayer. So the thing about it is, when you do this, though, as a religious act, just to show that we are a part of the body of Christ, that's the wrong motive. You know, we do it when the Lord leads us to do it, but we don't do it as a way of gaining our salvation. There's a difference. You know, we do those things because we're saved. We don't do those things in order to be saved. And here we have someone who gave his testimony that he was doing all of this, and yet he was not saved. He shared all of that to say that he wanted others to know that it was all by works, it was all his doing, that you can do all of it and yet be lost, you know. And so this is the reason why today we want to get to the real issue. We want to make sure that people understand what it is that's happening, you know, across the land, is that there's so many voices. You know, there's so many who claim to have the truth, and then those who have even been brought up under the gospel now have begun to question whether or not God's word is true. Is the word true? Yes, it's true. God's word is still the power of God unto salvation. Unto salvation. Let's go back to Wesley. Now, after years of study at Oxford, he was ordained to the ministry, and he decided to be a missionary and to leave England, and he went and sailed for America. He was going to preach to the Indians here in America. And while he was crossing the Atlantic, he said he practiced his religion with a vengeance. This was his daily routine on board: 4 to 5 a.m. private prayers, 5 to 7 a.m. public Bible reading, 8 to 9 a.m. public prayers, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Bible study, 12 to 1 p.m. testimony, 2 to 4 reading aloud or witnessing, 4 to 5 p.m. evening prayers, 5 to 6 private prayers, 6 to 7 public reading again, 7 to 8 evening service, and then 8 to 9 public exhortation. Now, do you think that's how most people spend their time out on a ship today when they get out there? No, most people are not even thinking about that. They're out there, you know, doing whatever they want to do on the ship. They're not going through this type of routine. I know most of us don't. No sport, no exercise of any kind. No. It seems like here Wesley only had time to eat and sleep, because every other hour was invested and guarded, you know, toward the things of God. But I'm just saying all of that to say, what is the real issue? We can do all of this and have a head thing going on, an intellect thing going on, and not have our hearts sold out to God. All of that, having graduated from Oxford, ordained as a minister of an established church, met all the requirements, was accepted as a missionary. There was nobody in England that was known to have been more sincere, but he had not been born again. He had not been born again. He did not know Christ. And so there had to come a time when he accepted the Lord Jesus and realized that, you know what, all of that had to do with my own works, exercises in futility, if you will. Not that it doesn't profit us to read, to study, to pray, but it only made him miserable. To Wesley, he wrote that religion was a burden, and God hasn't called us to that. God has called us to joy. God has called us to peace. You know, even though we may be in turmoil, we may be persecuted all around, this is one of the byproducts of our salvation. We can have peace deep down on the inside. Somebody that's listening tonight may be going through. You're going through great hardship, great trial. Some of you are suffering. You've lost loved ones. But there's something about knowing Christ, not in your head, but in your heart, knowing that God is real, you know, not being like the one here who preached, he baptized, he administered communion, he did all of that. He was very religious. He was very sincere, but he had no assurance that his sins were forgiven. Okay? So that's what the Lord is saying to us tonight. You know what the real issue is? The real issue is that we want to become disciples of Christ and not just know the word, not just be able to spew out scriptures, but in order to win men and women to Christ. God is saying, I must have your heart. I must know that you're mine from the inside out. You know, that it's me that you love, that it's me that you want, that it's me that you'll live for, and not only that, you'll die for me. That was the end of all things, and when John Wesley realized he didn't have what he needed. He was afraid to die. He had been what he thought was a Christian, and he realized that there were those around him, the Moravians, who were also on the ship that he was on, and they had something that he didn't have. And he realized that they were sold out from their hearts. And how did he know it? They had no fear of death. They had an experience that he didn't have. They did all the things that he did, but at the same time there was a difference. The light of Christ was shining through them. Listen, God is saying to us tonight, he wants to deliver us from the spirit of fear, but he also wants to deliver us from pride, from anger, from revenge, from all those things that keep us from becoming disciples of the living God. What is the real issue? What is the real issue? It's not that we don't know the word. It's not that we're not in attendance and gathering ourselves together and taking in the word. It's not that people aren't reading the word. Yes, we could do more. But the reality is God is saying, I need you to act on what it is that you say you believe. You know, do you have the witness within yourself? There's a spirit of God. Bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. That's the thing. Do you know Christ? He's saying to us tonight, follow me. Because if you follow me, it may not lead you down the path that you would choose to go. You know, but you will know that I'm the Savior of the world and that I change men and women's lives because I deal with the heart. So it goes back to us again tonight. God is, through the Lord Jesus Christ, he came, he revealed himself to mankind, he put on flesh, he hung, bled, and died for us. But we have to accept that, accept it, not just let it be vain words. So tonight, do you have that witness within yourself? Does the Spirit of the living God bear witness with you that you're a child of God? Because I want to encourage you tonight and give you to know there's so much more that God has for us. You may say, well, we hear that all the time. Well, it's true all the time. You know, each and every day that we get up, there's so much more for us. We wake up to a brand new day, loaded with brand new mercies, brand new benefits. Grace abounds. The favor of God rests upon our lives with each new day. And the day before it is gone. Yesterday is gone. And so we can go forward with a new day, knowing that the Lord has already gone before us. His agenda is there for us to accept. And it is going to be better, much better than what we ever expected. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. Think about that. Think about that. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. So that's what I wanted to share with you tonight, is that it's not so much about people saying they believe in the Lord. Yes, many believe. Scripture said the demons believe and they tremble. But what makes the difference? It makes the difference if we act upon what it is that God has given us to do. If we act upon the agenda that God has given us for this day. Think about it. We don't want to be missionaries. We don't want to be those who are called by his name but not have a personal experience with him. He is a God of salvation. He is a God of life. He's a God of light. He's a God of strength. He's a supernatural God of our faith. Supernatural. He's come to impose his super upon our natural. And I don't know about you, but I want to experience that. I realize, yes, that I fall so short of the Lord's glory. But yet, deep down on the inside, I want to experience more and more of him. Don't you? So listen, it's my prayer tonight that we have, in some way, encouraged your heart. What is the real issue? God is saying the real issue is I need for individuals, just like we spoke in the last 2 weeks about being in a race, but I just need you to step up and, you know, be accounted for, not just with your intellect. It's not about what you know, but who you know. It's all about relationship. And that's what the Lord is speaking to his people, is that in these last days, we're going to need relationship. Intellect won't carry the day. You know, there's some who are very smart. They're very wise. They're very articulate. They can bring wonderful messages, expounding on great words. But it's going to take a heart that is turned toward God, that God has come in and changed it, and that heart is saying, yes, Lord, whatever it is that you will, that's my desire. You remember Jesus said his meat was to do the will of the Father. What's your meat tonight? What is your meat on tonight? We bless God. Well, if there are no comments or no questions, we certainly want to give space for that on tonight. If anyone in the listening audience had comments or questions, and those of you who had not dialed in, if you want to dial in at 347-843-4591, 347-843-4591. We'll be so glad to hear your comments and share what you would want to say to us tonight. But we're just grateful for each and every one of you. We realize we have brothers and sisters who are on foreign soil tonight, and we lift them in prayer. We pray that the power of God would just overtake them, and everything that they share, when they speak, when they minister, that God would just show up in a magnificent way and show himself strong, because he's promised that he will confirm his word with signs following. So we cover them in prayer. You know, each Monday evening we have women in ministry who gather, and we have a prayer line, and we gather. We dial in at 605-475-4000, 605-475-4000, and we dial in on Monday nights from 9 o'clock till 10. You don't have to stay on the line the whole time if you can't stay for an hour, but if you dial in, we pray, and we're praying for you. We pray for all the radio listeners. We pray for those who are dealing with sicknesses, any type of cancer, those who've lost loved ones. We are praying for you every Monday night. And then our access code, once you dial in at 605-475-4000, they'll ask for the access code. It's 108460, 108460. But listen, we love you tonight with the love of the Lord, and so thankful that you've decided to join us. And whoever listens to this podcast, whether you're listening live tonight or you listen at some point in the future, may the power of God rest upon you. May you know the favor of God in your life as never before, because God wants us to realize what is the real issue when it comes to his people not moving out and doing what it is that he's called us to do, that which he's ordained since the foundation of the world. It's not a head thing, my friend. It's about your heart. God bless you tonight.